Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 8th, 2012. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And when you speak, make sure you speak very slowly so that I can understand you. Yeah, that's the word, understand, so I can understand you. Anyway, the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And you folks that are listening to us on satellite, if you don't do the internet, or you might be listening by telephone, who knows tonight, if you can't get the internet, feel free to call me and you can ask any questions over the telephone. So feel free to use those numbers, and remember, the cell phone is for an emergency, but I am here for you because I care. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, and not really my will or guest's will, but your will, Father, and give us all ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this radio program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is a minister and co-founder of the Church of God Ministries International. He's been an ordained minister for 20 years. Some of his responsibilities are he serves as a director of operations, he writes a monthly newsletter for the mailing list, and he produces the quarterly magazine for the church. He also produces sermons and Bible studies. The Church of God International has ministers, and small congregations scattered around the U.S., Canada, Trinidad, and Kenya, where they could use some people there. Okay, I'll shut up. Anyway, if you folks are out there and not familiar with them, they are Sabbath and biblical holy day keepers. Our guest comes to us from very close to New Orleans, so let's welcome him now. That's Tom Carrier. Are you there with me, Tom?
Pastor Dan, good afternoon. Yes, I'm here.
Well, I always ask that question. Anyway,
you never know if anyone's on the other end, do you?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's believe me, on live radio, I've asked that before, and it's been blank. You know, anything can happen with live radio, and we are on live radio tonight, going out to the world. So, amen. I understand. What did I miss in talking about you? Are you a family man?
Yes, sir. I'm a family man. I have two children at home, one in college, and one in hopefully get to college in a couple of years.
Yeah, amen. I don't know with all these things out there, but we'll get there somehow. You made a series of DVDs, I understand, and one of them is called Threat of Evil, and it seemed to be on your heart because as we talked about this afternoon a little while, you said that it was more of a warning to people. Tell us why that is.
Yes. Yeah, actually, when we first talked about coming on your program, my first thoughts were, because I know you have a pretty astute biblical background audience, and I thought probably another series would have been on the two C's, but I just felt that this here is more pertinent to the time we're living in, as far as the threat of what we're facing in the United States, especially after the election the other night. Because the Muslim, this spread of evil, I'm going to talk about the Muslim movement and its rise and its biblical implications and biblical fulfillment coming through. In the last 4 years since the people we've had in the White House, they've made stronger gains in America than they had in probably 100 years. And now that we've had a second term, I'm just really concerned now that this movement is going to gain stronger ground than we ever had seen before. And the danger that's involved here, I don't think the people in this country realize what we're talking about here.
Even a large percentage of the people that voted for him would not have voted for him. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but recently I did a program with Jerome Croce, and Jerome Croce discovered that the ring on his finger, his wedding ring, says there is no God but Allah on it. And that's to have a president in office. How could even God think about blessing our nation when our president wears a ring with an allegiance to Allah?
Yeah, and actually I think he's had that ring even before he was married, if I'm not mistaken. If not, he's put that on his wedding ring also. So, and the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that's therein lies our danger today, is that the people today, they don't realize what we're wrestling against today is what God has warned the nations of Israel from the beginning. And we're in the middle of it right now, and the people today in America have no clue of what's coming. And they speak less and less about it as time goes on, because you know we're labeled, we're bigots, we're you know homophobes, you name it, and so less and less people are speaking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let alone standing up against you know when the administration is for it. And let's go with this. You know, Christians all the way across the board, it seems like more and more and more. They're coming against you for just being a Christian more than any other thing. You know, they're picking on Christians more than any others. Do you believe that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's phenomenal. I could not have understood years and years ago how people were going to come after God's elect and blame us for the catastrophes that's going to overtake this world. But if we look at the person who put that video out, I never saw the video, the one that supposedly created all the Middle East uproar on 9/11, the riots that took place, the killings at our embassy,
right.
Is that people, I mean, I never seen the outrage against the people who killed our people. The outrage was against the person who showed a video.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So you try to imagine when it comes to us, and we're trying to preach the truth, and when Satan turns all his powers upon us, the people are going to start blaming us and hating us because of the problems in the world, and they're going to come after us.
Well, they've been trying to place the blame against the West for a very long time, but we've always had a Christian, even if they're okay, let's go like this. Instead of, you know, Bill Clinton, he wasn't very, you know, along biblical lines, but he still had some moralistic values in him. But if we go backwards in time, all our presidents, you know, have been of a Christian heritage, and America stood for Christian heritage, and we believe in being a strong voice and strong. Now we come up with an administration that believes America should apologize, and you know whether he's Muslim or not, he's clearly pro-Muslim. And so, how can we stand as Christians when our own government isn't standing for us?
Well, and that's absolutely true, and that's the reason I felt that the message that we're trying to portray here in the sermon that we actually delivered, the sermon it's on the DVD, is more pertinent to most people's lives who don't know the Bible yet, because what we bring out in this DVD is that whether they realize it or not, what's going on is going to affect their life. And they need to get that in their head now, and no one's going to tell them that but God's people. And so
yes,
it's really important, and that's why I was so grateful for the opportunity tonight to be able to share this on your audience, even though I know most of your people are aware of it, but they can take this information and be able to share it with others and hopefully get it around, at least around the United States, if not way around the world. I mean, this is really, really important. I'll share with you an interesting story about this sermon, if you would let me do that before we actually get into anything. Is that I was invited up to speak before our brethren up in Flemington, New Jersey last summer, and I believe it was in July. And so we had our Pennsylvania brethren and New York and the New Jersey brethren coming together, and we were renting a hotel where we were meeting at. And this was just following the election on June 30th. And actually, at that time, I was trying to determine this sermon to be a new era in the Middle East because Morsi had just gotten in, and we saw the ranting and the raving before he actually took his inauguration, how they were going to create a jihad, and they were going to march to Jerusalem, and that's going to be their new headquarters. Meanwhile, our government was talking about it's a peaceful movement and how smooth this is going to be for everybody. And I'm looking at this stuff in video, and nobody in the news was expressing it. So fortunately, my brother was able to find some video clips, and we hurried up and we put him in the sermon. But I was delivering this sermon, and I was using a PowerPoint message, and we were in one of these rooms that has these dividers. Now, these hotels have these huge doors that they just kind of slide open to two rooms, make it one. Right. Well, as I'm delivering the message, I'm hearing people in the other room, they're talking in a language I couldn't understand. And so as I was going through the message, the crack between the wall and the door starts getting wider. And so the person on the other side is talking louder. So I go through the messages that I'm going through, like when you deliver a sermon, you get motivated, you'll speak louder, you go faster. So as I got louder, he got louder. So I went faster, he went faster. And the door keeps getting cracked wider and wider, and everybody in the audience can hear it and see it, and I keep looking over to the side, what's going on here? And my wife was in the audience, and my daughter told my wife, I found out later, she said, these people come to get daddy. Well, what happened was, I didn't know it, that the people who were in the other room were Egyptian Coptics. They were Christian Egyptians over here in America who had fled Egypt for safety.
Wow.
So I'm delivering a message about Egypt and its importance of what's taking place and how it's not going to be a democratic nation and how the influence is being brought into America. So what the person was actually doing, he was translating my sermon to the people in the other room.
Really?
Yes, I had no idea.
That's really amazing. So when you stop, they stop, then you go, wow, what's going on here?
I kept looking over and said, man, these people are going to come over and get me at any minute. I thought that was my last sermon.
Isn't our Father wonderful? You know, I mean, he arranges everything. I mean, nobody but him could have put those people right next to you in in the next room like that. That's just simply amazing, you know.
It's absolutely amazing. So when it came down, I had a real difficult time in the development of this sermon because when I was up there, there was a lot of history, and there's just so I was trying to go back to the history, the roots of Egypt through the change. But little by little, it came clear that the importance of the message of what took place over there is that the threat of evil it moves in where there's a vacuum, and if you look at the history through the last 100 years, is that while England and the United States were powerful, and while they were an influence, the world typically maintained a state of peace. It was never real peace, but there was a state of peace. And after World War I, when Britain could no longer afford to keep up all its colonies all over the country, they began to draw back, and it created this huge vacuum. And at the same time, the United States did the same thing when it created its power, its position of appeasement or withdrawal, stay within itself. And when that time happened, we've seen Hitler rise. And when Hitler rose to power, the Muslim Brotherhood rose at the same time.
Yes.
And you can track that movement. And every time when you have a strong nation, when the United States or Britain flexed its power as an influence of good, it would stop the threat of evil. But right now, it's being withdrawn, so it's rising and it's growing rapidly.
Okay, let me intercede for a minute. I got something to say. Folks, what he said about the Muslim Brotherhood arising at the same time Hitler. In fact, they went a little bit further than that. They were, in fact, one of the ones that helped influence Hitler into doing what he did with the Jewish people. They worked with Hitler all the way through. And I can't think of his name, the name of that main guy, but we have Walid Shubat on our radio program, and he's an ex-terrorist, and he basically was a long-lost relative of this man. But that's a very, very strong threat of evil. So have you looked at that history?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we get that in the DVD. And in fact, Hitler was able to fund the Brotherhood down in the Arab territories with its own printing press. And, and from that time on, it began, the first thing it did to promote was anti-Semitism. And
yeah,
that was, and so we actually have here is that we don't realize it's not just Christianity versus Muslims. We're talking about God's way versus Satan's. And that's,
yeah,
and that's the story that's got to get out.
Well, absolutely. So let's do this. Maybe we should talk about the Muslim people, like they say, well, it's a religion of peace. If we take away the part that they want to continually attack everybody, just their lifestyle doesn't portray anything peaceful in it, does it? I mean, you know,
no.
Like maybe what, how they treat their women? You want to talk on that for a moment?
Yeah, there's no rights at all for basically for their women. They had a Albana. I mean, Hassan Albana wrote is talking about their peaceful moment toward the beginning of his foundation. He wrote this. He says that that they imported half naked women into these regions. And we're talking about in the 30s and the 40s, late 20s, and you understand
right. They
were dressed modestly. Back in that time, but they didn't cover their faces up. They didn't have just their eyes open. So he starts off with the beginning, at the very beginning, even though they claim to be a peaceful movement, is that they half-naked women to their regions with their liquors, their theaters, their dance halls, their amusements, their stories, newspapers, novels, whims, silly games, and vices. And he said at the beginning, he said, the day must come when the castles of this materialistic civilization will be laid low upon the heads of the inhabitants. So he threatened from the beginning that that they weren't going to stand for the women the way they treated them. They gave them, respect.
Right.
And so they would come back, and eventually that they would find a way to come back and put all the what he came to be evil back on the heads of our civilization, or the Western civilization.
Right. You know, what's really amazing is right now, you know, with Obama, we have such a movement of people that are trying to introduce Sharia to this nation, but are trying to put Muslims over as peaceful. They're, you know, trying to put their doctrine even in our schools in some places like California and other places. But so what amazes me is there's a lot of leftist women that are trying to promote, you know, this agenda with Muslims. But yet, it makes me wonder, these women, they wouldn't want to live under that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And yeah.
They could not live in an Arab nation under the that government as they're living here, even though they're trying to promote it over here.
Right. Well,
but here's the
absolutely.
Problem that we face, and this is how quite often they can get away with what's going on, is that in early years, they realized that radical Islam would only be so successful to a limited extent, and it would be successful if they had control. In 1966 to 1970, they created what they called the Civilization Jihad. And so they would, through a peaceful movement, be able to infiltrate into governments, into schools, into religions even, and to even in military, they would find peaceful ways to coexist, and you would find through that coexistence that they would gradually bring in their way of life until they have a control. And once they have a control, then they would change it to the Sharia law way of life.
Yeah,
did you know that Tennessee already has appointed a Sharia compliance person in Tennessee?
Mm-hmm. Do what?
They've already got someone that they've appointed to look into when they pass laws to make sure that it could become Sharia compliant down the road.
And where's that at?
In Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
In July 2012, Governor Haslett appoints Sharia compliant finance expert to head Tennessee Development Council.
Well, now let me reflect on this for a moment. Tennessee, you know, doesn't strike me as a state that would be any way, shape, or form for that kind of thing. You know, with think of the heritages that came out of Tennessee and the American people. It just doesn't, and biblical people, it just doesn't, it seems ludicrous to even think that they would do that from that state.
I would have never, in my wildest dreams, I would have thought a leftist, you know, a for liberal state or city would have allowed that. But it's actually in Governor Haslett in Tennessee. This past July,
I would have. You know what? If somebody would have said New York, I would have said, yeah, probably so. You know, or New Jersey, or someplace like that. But Tennessee, but that, folks, that just shows that how much that it's creeping in. And you know, we have only one law, and that's embedded in the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the United States, and if you haven't figured it out, if you read your Bible, the Old and the New Testament, or as what some of us call the Torah, and study it, then you will find that the Constitution of the United States, the laws, are based on the Bible, are they not?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, you'll find that many of the actual civil laws, you can actually almost match them verse by verse in the Old Testament.
Yeah,
on how we apply our lives.
Especially when you get into the different things in there, like incest and all kinds of things. Okay, it's 26 minutes after the hour. So this is a DVD, and it's a threat of evil. How long a presentation is it? An hour? 2 hours?
It's approximately 1 hour, yes, sir.
Approximately 1 hour, and it's a DVD. Okay, where can they get a copy of this?
Well, actually, they can write into us. There's let me give you the address. It's 1767 Stump Boulevard. That's with an F on it, S-T-U-M-P-F. And it's in Gretna, Louisiana, G-R-E-T-N-A, Louisiana, 70056. And they just address it to the COGMI, which is the Church of God Ministries International. Now, we have a policy. We don't sell anything. Everything we do is by donation. We give everything away. So if anyone writes in for it, if they'd like to help us to offset the cost, we'd really appreciate it. Whatever donation they feel God inspires them to do would help us out. And we prayed about this, and in fact, I mentioned it just early, and you said it wasn't necessary. But what we would like to do is whatever anyone donates, half of that, we will send to the work you're doing and to help the radio show and the mission to help the poor. Because the only goal here is to get the word out, and we'd like to do that.
Okay, so I got to interrupt. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes, and we'll talk about the address and some more things when we get back. We'll be back.
Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Yes, folks, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor in the neighborhood and around the city that come to us for help. People that are hurt from this economy, and boy, we're going to have a bunch more of it because of the recent election, but they're hurt from the economy. While they may be able to keep a roof over their heads, they need other things, food, clothing, all the things that, you know, we offer. We are into November already. Thanksgiving is just a short time away. You know, it is for the mission church, it's the biggest day of the year, in fact. And that is the day even the local news usually chooses to show up. And if you want to see some of those news clips of past years when the news has visited us, you can go to WichitaHomeless.com and just click on the links. But anyway, the people come not just looking for a meal, but the family love of our Father. One of the main things that they lack, and that's family and family love. And that's the real kind of love that you get from the Father, unconditional. Winter is the time the poor need us the most. In Wichita, I just noticed today two aircraft companies, Boeing and another one, are laying off people that just right after the election, and it is due to the election. We've been doing this, folks, for over 13 years, but you know what? We still lack local help. Maybe it's because we're so different than the mainstream, especially for Kansas. We just don't fit in. But the body of Messiah, is supposed to be called out different, are we not? Anyway, we only exist because you folks allow the fodder to work for you. Right now, as I said, winter is the biggest need for the people. It's also the slowest time of the year for donations for us. Until we get to January, our donations slow down extremely. I know many of you don't agree with me on some of the things like the Sabbath or the holy days or the timing of the rapture, but we should all agree that Yeshua said to love one another, that the apostles cared for other churches in other cities because they was poor. Paul even said that he gave all to the poor. We serve our Father by serving others. And right now, we really need a miracle in order to stay open. And it's this time, and in this time of year, when the people have the greatest needs, help us pray that in. We have no set guidelines like programs. You just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. If you need help, then if we do not, we can't fill that need with what we have in front of us. We pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about this, the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions in their budgets send people to a place that has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. We are responsible, folks, all to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father does notice all donations, that is, donations that come from your heart. So pray about it. We really need your help. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order, and you can find this information at prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to. Anyway, now on with other things. On Mission Watch on the first day of the week, 8 p.m. Central, Ben Brock and I will be talking with about the election, yeah, Libya, and many other things. And you know, folks, Ben is a great guest, so you need to tune in. And you've heard him on here before. We do have usually have a really pretty good talk. And you'll be hearing me vent a little bit about the election and some of the things that will come from it. Anyway, and tonight, after this radio program at 9 p.m. Central, this fellow I've known for a long time, he calls his program the Omega Man Radio Program. And he asked me to come on for a while, and I think we're going to talk about the Mission Church. I'm not really sure. Who knows where the conversation will go, but you should tune in. Just go to prophecyhour.com after this program and look on where we post our articles and things, and you'll see where I posted it that I'm going to be on that program, and you can click the link and find a way to be on. Now, if he hasn't got tired of listening to me talk and waiting on me, I think we're now back with Tom Curry. Are you there, Tom?
I'm still here.
Well, I didn't get rid of you. Folks, I didn't get rid of him, so okay. Anyway, now then, first off, Tom, I'm going to tell you this. The address that you gave out for the folks to get that DVD, please email that to me. And, folks, I will post that on my website. And when we post this in the radio archives, I will also put that address there so it will be very easy for them to find it. And, of course, if you folks can't find the address even after all that, you can call me and I will give you the address. So, Tom. Give them some meat out of the DVD, would you please?
Yeah, actually what we did, Pastor, I wanted to develop a biblical foundation to show the people that what's taking place is actually can be proved from Scripture, that this movement, this rise of the stranger within, was actually prophesied all the way back at the time of Isaac, before he died, and if you will, I'm going to go through just a couple little verses here, just to give you a part of what's in that message, because it's not important enough to just know what's happening, but it's imperative we understand why it's happening and that God prophesied that it would happen and tells us why it's going to happen, and it's found in Genesis, and you remember the story where Jacob and Esau, they were brothers in the womb, and God tells, you know, and the mother was going through a terrible ordeal, and God said, you have two nations inside of you. One was going to be very strong, and the older was going to serve the younger. So Esau, being the older, comes out first, and of course we understand that Esau, who actually become part of the Arab nations we see today, and as we understand Edom, because the Bible says that Esau is Edom, and that actually Herod was an Edomite, Edomia, at the time, and it shows the fulfillment of what's taking place through the centuries. So now I'm going to pick it up in Genesis 27. Jacob had already gotten the birthright through the porridge when Esau said, "What good is it to me? I'm going to die." So he sells him his birthright for a bowl of soup. So now he gets to the point for the blessings goes to the firstborn. Well, we know the story how Jacob and his mother conspired together to trick Isaac because he was going blind, and they tricked him to be able to give Jacob the blessings that was rightfully due Esau. So the blessings are given, and Jacob leaves, and Esau comes in, and he realizes that Isaac realizes that he had been tricked. But he left it as it was. Evidently, God gave him that insight. And he said, "What I have blessed is going to be blessed." So in verse 38, Esau asks his dad, he says, "Don't you have any blessings left for me?" And so here's the critical point of the message of the sermon and how it shows biblical fulfillment today. And he says, "Bless me, even me, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. So Isaac, his father, looked at him and he said, "Behold," gives him a blessing now. And this is what we don't understand. We think the Arab people are in that area, but they don't realize that part of the Arab family, as we understand it today, are actually brothers, Esau and Jacob. They're actually brothers. And here's what God says in verse 39. He says, "Behold, your dwelling place shall be the fatness of the earth." All right, so now, when we realize, where is that people? Well, they're all over the globe. And wherever there's richness going to be, you're going to find them there. And they're going to be serving the younger. And that's what we've seen happening for centuries. But then it goes on and tells us this. He says, "You're going to be in the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven." He says, "And by the sword you shall live." So now we begin to see that's a different mentality of people. Is the Israelite people of a more peaceful nature, and the Arab nature or the brother is a more warlike person. And you'll see that, like in the Muslim Brotherhood, you'll find that there's a sword in their emblem. And you look all the way back to Ishmael, to the roots of Islam, and you will see, he said, that he will be a wild man. His hands are going to be against everybody. So you see this intermingling of another nation that's going to be dwelling among God's people. It says, "And you shall serve your brother, but," now here's the important point, verse 40. It says, "And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion." Now, Pastor Dan, I believe what we're witnessing in the last few years, because of the evil of the people turning their backs on God in this nation and around the world, and in accepting other gods, to be apart with God, the only God, it says that when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. And we're witnessing that. We're in the middle of that prophecy right now. And the Bible says when it shall come to pass, whenever you read that, it's normally talking about an end time prophecy.
Yeah.
And we're close to an end time. And so what we're witnessing now is the breaking of the strength of the people off their neck, and they're rising up. And you see in Deuteronomy 28 with blessings and cursings, that as long as you do what God says, you'll be blessed. But if not, right, it says the sojourner that's within you, and now part of that sojourner is Esau. Oh, they're in the midst of all, and you find it on Europe. Every country around the globe is facing the same problem we are here in America. France, Germany, England, and then the Arab people are rising up and they're taking over. They're taking control. So yeah, we're witnessing, and I'm telling you, that fact alone should shake the people's bones to their knees, because unless there's repentance, there's no way to stop what's coming.
Well, part of the problem that we have, while, you know, the Internet has did two things to us, brother. Number one, while we can, man, I can pull it up and I can click a video and show you of all the riots and things that they have did in France And it should be enough to scare everybody into believing, because that's, you know, what's happened with England, and it's happening, will eventually happen here. But the same, while in that case the internet's a blessing, and that our radio program's getting to reach China, like I told you earlier tonight, or other places, but it's also the curse and the factor that the people, we live in an age that the people are just so prone to entertainment. You know what I mean? They're spending hours and hours and hours on Facebook and, you know, other social networks, looking after funny video after funny video after funny video. And if they do, in fact, get off of the internet, then they're plugged full of ungodly TV programs, meaning to the point that when they don't have time for God.
Right. They don't.
Now,
they have absolutely no time for God. And had the people done it, there's no way they would be in the position we are in today. And as we spoke earlier, my wife and I, we both shed a tear when they announced the election, because
absolutely,
we are a people. The nation is, and I put us as a we, only because when I look at the prophets, they always put themselves as we, because they're a part of the nation. Is that we're a nation who's voted with the approval of abortion, voted with the approval of homosexual marriages, approval of pretty much. I guess I can mention this, and I'll be tactful how I mention this. I heard for the first time that in California there was an amendment to vote for, and this just blew my mind, corrupt we've become, is that they voted to make people in the porn industry wear condoms. It was on the ballot.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of anything so bizarre?
What's bizarre about it, you know, let's go with this. Now, on one hand, a part of your mind might go, well, that's probably a good thing. But then you're going, wait a minute. Why should we be even talking about porn other than to shut it down, not to make it safe? Well, you know, two other measures. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen to this, brother. While you're on the subject, there's two other places. Washington and Colorado legalized marijuana. Yes, legalized marijuana for general use. And so they're hoping that the federal government will take it up. And it would not surprise me if the prohibition against marijuana has been lifted. But it just shows the moral laxity of this nation. Let's go with this. This is, can you think of another time in our history where we have not had running for president a real Christian?
No,
I can't
recall that's ever happened.
Can consider this. You know, we want there's people out there, and I hear this in the mainstream Christian churches saying, we want revival, we want God to heal our nation, we're going to pray and have God heal our nation. But brother, for God the Father to heal our nation, don't we have to repent first?
Yeah, and the amazing thing was that, do you remember 9/11 when the towers fell? There were some Protestant ministers who actually stood up and said that this nation needs to repent before God.
Right.
And the majority of the people in Congress and religion jumped on them like there was no tomorrow. And they had to recount and ask for forgiveness for asking for repentance. But nobody wants to talk about repentance. And that's the only way that we can get to where we need to be.
Well, the reason, and pick me up here, the reason that it is this way is the morality of the church itself. It goes back to this. Like I you know, you, whoever listens to my program come Sunday, because it's pre-record, you'll find out what I have to say about the Christian church and the Christians in general. There are more of them out there, or more of us out there than there are of them. If you look at the numbers, Christians are supposed to be the dominant force in this country still. But the percentage of us that vote is crazy. Less than 50% of the Christians out there are registered to vote, and out of that, before the election, there was something like in 2008, only like 25 or 30% of them voted. So, you know, the preachers aren't out there preaching against sin. If they were, then the people would be going, we need to stand up and vote against sin. But the preachers aren't preaching against sin, because when the Protestant church starts preaching about sin, the people pick up and go down the street to another church where there's a bowling alley and a tennis court inside the church. What's that about?
Entertainment.
Entertainment. There you go.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that. So is it a church? What, define the word church.
Yeah.
What is church?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's going on. You find that the people, in fact, we were discussing with some of our ministry just the other day with the same problems, that it appears that even in some of God's churches, they're trying to find a compensating way to bring people in that can entertain them, which it won't work. That's not the purpose for it. But people, they want to be entertained. They don't want to be told the truth. And well, the Bible warns us that at the end time they're going to be praising God, but their heart's going to be far from Him. You know, and we're at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when we look out at the nation and we see what president is, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise at what kind of a president we had, you know, or we have, because that's the morality of the nation. You know, the people of God the Father, they need to stand up and say something. But I really don't know that will happen, because when we look at our worldview of things, brother, the nations that were in the Arab Spring are also the nations that are listed in Ezekiel 38. And you all see a realignment towards radicalism that would be, and we're all screaming one thing, attack Israel.
That's right. You know, just last night, President Morsi in Egypt said now that the U.S. influence is out of the Middle East, that the Arab nations need to rise up and begin to bring in Sharia law and unite them to keep them together now that the presence of the United States is gone. Now, that was just yesterday after the election.
Well, did you get the other
state? What we're seeing now is a begin. I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, well, and I do want you to finish your sentence, but you get the rest of the of what that said? They also said, and now the United States needs to listen to the Muslim world. In other words, we need to listen to them, not them listen to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he pretty much gave that dictate when he came over here after he was elected, that he was going to come over here and pretty much set the terms for what he wanted. It's just absolutely phenomenal, and that's what the Bible said was going to happen to us, that they're going to rise up above us, we're going to be brought down very low. We're going to be the tail. And when you look at our financial picture, and I don't know if everybody knows it or not, but even with the financial picture of where we're at today, the minimum to add to our debt is going to be $1 trillion a year. You know, the last time we had a balanced budget alone was back with Clinton when he was in office, and he had
right.
a balanced budget, and we were still going in debt every day, even with the balanced budget, and that was before we had $16 trillion in debt.
Right, and so, for the record, folks, he was forced into that. It wasn't because Bill Clinton wanted a budget. It was because he was forced into it by a Republican Congress.
Right, and it worked.
Yeah.
He did.
Well, amen. I'm just saying, you know, it's just like the gripe about the last 2 years of Bush's presidency. Well, the last 2 years of Bush's presidency had a completely Democratic Congress. And so, you know, at least they were listening. Now we have a president, it doesn't matter what we have for Congress, because he's going to do what he wants to do anyway, right or wrong.
Well, you kind of got that indication when he spoke off the microphone, when he talked to the Russian representative going back to Putin, that, you know, when he's reelected, he'll have a lot more freedom. That's
yeah,
kind of scary when you see those kind of things taking place in politics and our futures at hand.
Well, talk a minute about, let's do this. You know, folks, there's a lot of people out there that aren't comfortable after listening to our programs, aren't comfortable in the Christian churches, you know, or the mainstream churches, and you're looking for a Sabbath church. And while, you know, and a lot of you have come back, well, I'm not, you know, real hip on the Hebrew roots thing because you don't want to be Jewish. Well, you don't have to be Jewish to understand your Hebrew roots. But there is an alternative out there that I have not really spoke about before, and we're talking to that alternative, and that's called the Church of God. They've been around for a long time. Why don't you tell them a little bit about Church of God?
Yeah, Church of God, the actual Church of God was one big organization from the early 30s up until the death of the Armstrong, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and then eventually going to Ted Armstrong in 2003. And there's literally hundreds now of churches that are out there. They're Church of God. They're Sabbath-keeping churches. We live by the biblical principles of the Old and the New Testament. You know, we believe in Jesus Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. And we believe that the roots of our heritage are in the covenants that God gave. And we live, and we actually live by them every day of our life. And we actually have congregations that are spread around the country. We also have small fellowship groups. I didn't think to give this to you earlier. I'll give you our website if anybody would like to go on, because we have hundreds of sermons, and there's lots of information. They keep up with news on it. They can interact with other people in these different congregations. And it's the same acronym as our church. It's www.thecogmi.org. Thecogmi.org. And they can go on there, and they can pick up literally, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of sermons by various ministers around the country. I'm on there, and we got them listed by names, and there's others that are out there. But there's really a family, the Church of God family, scattered all over the country.
Yeah, amen. And folks, a lot of, and what you see, I don't know if you recognize this, Tom, that a lot of the churches out there, like Season of Our Joy, that are now Hebrew roots, actually came from, were Church of God churches first, you know what I mean? And so they still have that background. And so, you know, folks, if you're looking for a place to keep the feast, they keep the feast and everything, go check them out. I'm going to have to let you off of here, but why don't you give that address once again, and don't forget me to send me that address as soon as you can so I can put it in the archive and post it on our website, and give your website again, and maybe we'll do this again, brother.
Oh, sounds great. Okay. By the time we went by, I was worried about the time, and it went by real fast. It's www.thecogmi.org, and our physical address, if you write in the order, is 1767 Stump, Stumpf Boulevard. That's in Gretna, Louisiana, 70056. And I really appreciate the opportunity to get it out. And I really like for them to get this DVD, because it goes into a lot of specifics, and I believe we can prove from Scripture through this sermon the foundation of where we're at in the beginning of the establishment of the King of the South, and why things are going on the way they're going on from Scripture.
All right, brother. Well, folks, I'll post that at prophecyhour.com, and he sent me a little, I guess it's the cover thing for it. We'll post that at prophecyhour.com, and you can find it. Brother, we'll think about it, and you'll come back on again someday. I'll use you as a fill-in. How's that? Now, anyways, brother, that's a private joke, folks. We were talking about something earlier. Anyway, be blessed, brother. I'm glad to have you on, and I got to go, though. Be blessed.
Thanks again, Pastor. Bye-bye.
All right. Right. Okay, folks. Amen. Tune in. I drew a blank. Tune in to Mission Watch on the first day of the week. I got a great program I did with Ben Barak. We're going to talk about some things about the election, and I'm going to get my heart out, or at least part of it. But after the program, go to prophecyhour.com, and you'll see I'm going to be on the Omega Man's program at 9 p.m. Central. And I really don't know what I'm going to talk about with him, but, you know, I doubt that I'll be at a loss if he just lets me have the mic. Well, I guess if I'm the guest, I get to be the one that talks. Is that how it works? I don't know. I never did talk radio. I don't know. Anyway, we must pray about supporting the Mission Church. We need your help for Thanksgiving and just to keep the doors open. We must remember there is only one God. He is the Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him is the only way to the Father. Folks, always remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Among other things, you know, you got to love your brothers. Anyway, be a blessing. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.